This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What we know so far from earnings season and a reminder of the ever-growing budget deficit.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bluehost. Over 2 million bloggers worldwide bring their unique voice to the web with Bluehost's website building and hosting tools. Learn more at bluehost.com/marketplace. And by Fox Searchlight, presenting Goodbye, Christopher Robin, about Winnie the Pooh author A.A. Milne and his son, starring Donald Gleason and Margot Robbie, now playing in select theaters.
From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. U.S. markets opened pretty flat this morning. Investors seemed not to be too motivated, despite better-than-expected earnings from Wall Street banks, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley. For more on the markets, I'm joined by David Kelly. He's Chief Global Strategist for J.P. Morgan Funds. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how is the earnings season shaping up so far?
It's looking pretty good. We've got about 12% of the market cap of the S&P 500 in the doors, so it's still early days. But overall, companies are continuing to surprise on the upside. They're doing better than expected on earnings, and they're particularly doing better than expected on revenues. Sales seem to be pretty high, and we think that the fact that the dollar is down year over year is actually boosting those foreign sales, and that's really helping the earnings of U.S. companies right now.
And meanwhile, we're expecting numbers on the federal budget deficit to come out today.
Well, yes, and the budget deficit is actually going to be higher this year than last year. It looks like about $650 billion for the fiscal year that ended on September 30th. That's about 3.5% of our GDP. And I think it's important to recognize that even if we do nothing in terms of cutting taxes or increasing infrastructure spending right now, even if we did nothing, over the next few years, that budget deficit is going to continue to grow because of the retirement of the baby boom. So we were making some improvement in terms of our fiscal position, but now we're heading in the wrong direction, and the budget deficit is pretty large.
David Kelly is Chief Global Strategist for J.P. Morgan Funds. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
And the Senate is expected to vote on a budget resolution this week. Passing it would move the GOP one step closer to the tax overhaul it so desperately wants. President Trump promised Monday in a Rose Garden press conference with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell that the tax plan is on track. But the outcome of the budget vote is far from predictable, and the debate is going to launch us into a full-on back and forth over the budget deficit. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
It wasn't that long ago Republicans planted the flag as the party of belt tightening, of fiscal responsibility. But the budget the Senate will take up allows for as much as $1.5 trillion in tax cuts over the decade, tax cuts that won't be paid for with other tax increases. Donald Marin is with the Urban Institute.
The offsetting tax increases have turned out to be quite unpopular, and so as a result, the Senate is aiming for a big tax cut.
Jacob Liebenluft is with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He says the Republicans will try to make the case the proposal isn't as bad for the deficit as it seems.
I expect Republicans to argue that these tax cuts may, in fact, pay for themselves through higher growth.
But he says it's an argument that's at odds with a lot of economic evidence out there, and no doubt will be a sticking point in the debate ahead. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Not long ago, natural gas was being hailed as the clean bridge fuel. That's because it pollutes less than alternatives like oil and coal. For some purposes, it still is, like when it replaces diesel fuel in buses. But in our homes, some now believe natural gas should be phased out in favor of electric appliances. From the nonprofit journalism group iNews Source, Ingrid Lobet reports.
Don't worry, all you serious cooks. No one is talking about taking your gas stove. But Rachel Golden of the Sierra Club hopes the all-electric home, popular back in the 1950s, makes a comeback.
We're going to need to stop using gas appliances like gas water heaters and gas space heaters and start using much more energy efficient electric appliances that are powered by a clean grid.
Turns out some already are. The latest government data show one out of every four homes in the U.S. is already all electric. The trend is strongest in the South. Golden points out electricity is increasingly made with clean solar and wind.
Right now, people understand the benefits of having an electric vehicle, and soon I think they'll also understand the benefits of having all electric homes.
It's not just the carbon dioxide from burning natural gas that's a concern. Dan Thompson, a contractor who specializes in air quality, explains there can be other pollutants, too.
We didn't think it out really well that we put a lot of combustion appliances inside the living space, ovens, dryers, water heaters, sometimes furnaces, that can put bad stuff into the air, and we're not monitoring it.
But Gabe Harris, principal gas analyst with Wood Mackenzie in Lexington, Mass., says a switch to electricity for heat or the hot water may cost you.
I applaud the growth of wind and solar, but the truth is it's still more expensive than gas in most of the uses that we use it for right now.
He agrees electricity is getting cleaner, but he says putting up wind turbines and solar farms takes fossil fuel too.
Wind for a given amount of generation, you need a lot of concrete. A big percentage of the cost of concrete is energy, and that's almost always a fossil fuel type of energy.
Still, studies show wind and solar farms tend to make up for that fossil fuel use not too long after they start operating. I'm Ingrid Lobet for Marketplace.
iNews Source is an independent nonprofit journalism organization based in San Diego. And there's news this morning relating to the nation's opioid crisis. President Trump announced on Twitter his pick to lead the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy has withdrawn his name from consideration. Republican Congressman Tom Marino is no longer in contention to be drug czar following a Washington Post 60-minute investigation that illuminated his ties to the drug industry. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.